All right, Cole. What are we doing this week?
Well, Gary, I'm happy that you sat in on my dare session.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've been doing a lot of drugs.
Yeah, a lot of hardcore. Well, that's why I've noticed.
I'm a ganja farmer.
Oh, yep. So, yeah. You know, for Ja Rastafari and the highest. Mm-hmm. I would like to talk with you about this. So if you come over here, I've got some tanks, okay? And just the middle schoolers, they just couldn't care less. So let's take a look here. And what I've done is I've taken different illicit substances and I've sprayed these spiders with them so we can see what kind of webs they make.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So you can see over here, you got the cannabis, the THC, kind of like a lackadaisical one, not as many crossbars.
Yeah, it's like a living fractal. It's like a screensaver.
The cocaine one, it's like real erratic. You can't decide if it's a funnel or a regular kind of thing. He doesn't know what kind of spider he is. He just knows you really just got to rev that shit, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And over here, I've crushed up the CPU from a Sega Genesis and sprayed this spider with it. And, oh, this is kind of weird. You ever read Charlotte's Web?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's writing something out, Gary.
Some pig. Crispy bacon.
Crispy bacon.
Yeah. Crispy bacon. Some pig.
God, that is such a great casting decision. Paul Lind is the rat as Templeton. God, I love Paul Lind so much.
There is a veritable smorgasbord.
It's a rotten egg. Yep. but no, okay. So in the times when we were goofing on Lind, it wrote out Spider-Man and Venom Maximum Carnage, and Carnage is written in red. It's like a House of Leaves.
Oh, is did the cart that you spread on them, was it red?
No, it wasn't. But it was manufactured too late.
Oh, okay.
Fuck.
Oh, okay. No, fuck. Fumble. I'm torn between the fact this isn't a very good game and I'm excited to talk about 90s comics and Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think that's where we're going to spend most of the real estate on this one because Gary, what's your name?
Gary Butterfield.
My name's Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the extreme new show from duckfeed.tv. It's like the regular Abject Suffering except like spikier.
Yeah, this isn't your mama's podcast. We swear and shit. We're irreverent
pussies.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask you a question? What's the deal with vaginas?
Yeah, what's the deal with them?
it's the show where you recommend games that are ostensibly bad and we play them and then talk about whatever.
And this is kind of, you guys are giving us, lobbing us some softballs.
Yep.
Where it's like nothing, we haven't had any redemptions. Mm-hmm. This recording session, but like this isn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's LGAN, which you think it's going to be really terrible, but it's just kind of a too hard beat 'em up.
Yeah.
Like, kind of boring. You're fighting a lot of dudes named, like, Phil and Kevin.
I love the names. Yeah. I love the fact that they went about the trouble. It's like Katamari, right?
Yeah.
we're picking up Jiho and stuff like that. Like,
yep. You know, and that's pretty standard for, like, that happens in, like, Final Fight and the like, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one's just too hard, like, and you don't have a good method of crowd control.
Yeah.
But, like, the rest of the stuff is actually kind of, like, some of the stuff is kind of good. These graphics are kind of good.
I think that Spider-Man is a little bit too stupid, sexy Flanders for me. One of my favorite things about the Venture Brothers is the episode where they have anatomically correct Spider-Man. Where he's got like this the horrible cloaca. Yep. Yeah, the spinnerets and stuff. But yeah, no, it's I think that he's a little like Spider-Man, just a little bit too undulating for my taste in this.
Yeah.
I prefer kind of a more lithe Spider-Man because, you know, Peter Parker, he's a little bit of a nerd, right? He's a Poindexter.
I think that they made this like just because it's a beat 'em up, but they didn't have to do that because they had Venom, who is like a muscular Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So they could have had him be the agile hero and Venom be the strong hero, but like, you know, it's LJN, so they didn't quite do that. But like, it is a more competent beat 'em up than that Troll Kids game we played.
Like the Stone Guardians,
Power of the Stones, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Like this is more. Man, where is that? I wish I'd remember that title during that rap. Talking about the power, like they just spraying out the power of the stones. this is a pretty competent beat 'em up. What I think it is like it's just not balanced for one player. I think the difficulty doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have two players, it's probably fine.
Yeah.
You just go and beat shit up.
Is that a possibility? Does player two plug in and play as Venom? Because in watching a long play of this, because I couldn't get past a certain stage, I saw kind of like a back and forth between Spider-Man and Venom. There's no like Spider-Man stage, Venom stage.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It says it's single player. Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
This should have been a co-op game and it would have been pretty good.
Yeah, like on a Genesis, like the, the Ninja Turtles game that was like, again. Oh, like the Power of the Stones. Yep, again. Yeah. What the fuck is with stones?
Yeah. Also, it has so the cutscenes in this I genuinely think are kind of attractive.
Yeah.
The little comic cutscenes, even though like you're dealing with like one of the worst stories in like comics history and definitely Spider-Man history.
So dumb.
But they look good. Uh-huh. And then the soundtrack is by Green Jelly.
Okay. This was bouncing around in my head. Who is Green Jelly?
They did a little song called Little Pig, Little Pig, Let Me In.
Little Pig, Let Me In.
You know, that song, like the metal version, like Little Pig, Little Pig, Let Me In.
God.
By the hair of my chinny chin.
That's Green Jelly, buddy.
Was that video banned from MTV? Like that came up in a previous conversation.
It wasn't banned. Like it was on, but I think it got censored.
Okay.
This is embarrassing, but I had like the single of that and used to listen to it on repeat while mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was way into it. It's just like, yeah.
Let's
like, I love nursery rhymes. I don't know why I liked it so much.
You know, it's stupid. It's got a certain rocking quality to it. Embarrassing youth music story for embarrassing youth music story. I loved soundtracks even as a little kid. Mm-hmm. And when we were doing Jump Rope for Heart in gym class, they had something cool where you could bring in CDs to like to have everybody play, you know, like to play as they were doing the jump roping for the donations and whatnot. And mm-hmm. And I brought in I was like all super proud because I brought in my copy of the Mortal Kombat movie soundtrack. So picture a bunch of like North Central Ohio 7-year-olds jump roping to Mortal Kombat.
On the day that Mortal Kombat came out, I ran out into the middle of the street and yelled it like they did in the commercial. I'm not kidding.
The game or the movie or just whenever there was a Mortal Kombat release.
Mortal Kombat, when it was coming out, there was like Mortal Tuesday when the second one came out.
Mm-hmm.
And the commercial was a guy running out into empty streets like 28 days later and just screaming Mortal Kombat. And I ran outside and did that.
You get anything? Did somebody fire a t-shirt cannon at you from point blank?
Nope. The one thing I got was the gift of not being beat up, surprisingly. So
you were spared.
Yeah. Somehow the ground dog decided not to.
No, the world dog
had to lift his leg. The world dog. I was surprised I didn't get beat up for that. But like, yep. Mortal Kombat was somehow important to me at that age.
May his tail ever wag in your favor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Green Jelly. I'm going to be honest with you. This is the first Genesis soundtrack that I could actually identify as like sounding farty. Like that's a complaint that you often bring up. And this is some muddy farts.
This is particularly farty. And it's like it's the Green Jelly did the soundtrack and they put their main song Carnage Rules on an actual album of theirs.
Mm.
But because this is on the SNES, like it's little shitty computerized versions and it's like 7-second loops. Like yep. The songs like it's like there's not very much to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
But it does sound like rock and roll music, like shitty heavy metal,
mm-hmm.
like muddy, you know, muddy 90s metal in a way that most video game music doesn't.
And it's appropriate to the aesthetic. Like,
yeah, let's talk Carnage for a second. Let's talk about it.
So my whole understanding of Carnage comes from seeing the magazine ads for this and being kind of momentarily interested in buying it because I wanted a red, like a red cartridge. I mm-hmm. have purposefully avoided reading anything about, so he's not just a palette swapped Venom.
No.
Is he a different person who got the Venom symbiote? Like, I barely tolerate Venom in terms of like, he's like even Venom's like fucking just stupid to me.
Venom's hard. to get around. So he's a different person. His name is Cletus Cassidy.
Is he some kind of like serial killer kind of guy? Like he's also in prison?
Yes, he is. He's just like a psychopath, and he like killed his grandma and drowned a bunch of pets and stuff.
Did he? Did he get like a piece of the Venom symbiote suit, or is it a different suit that dropped to Earth on him?
Yes. No, he got a part of the suit.
Okay.
Like it's actually the suit's baby. Got on Carnage.
Okay.
So the suit's alive. What you know about that?
Right. So Eddie Brock, he butted off and it turned into,
yeah, he shared a cell with Venom and a little bit of like the baby of the suit that's angrier and it like feeds off your emotions or what have you.
Okay.
So since it was on like the idea was like, if you put this on like a real serious serial killer, mm-hmm. it's going to turn like the worst. And that's why it's blood red and why he's like,
I'm just going to keep asking you these questions when they pop up. If that symbiote moves on to somebody else aside from this Cletus, you said
Cletus Cassidy.
Cletus, okay. If it goes on to somebody else says Cletus Cassidy, is it still Carnage or is it that symbiote plus Cletus Cassidy that is Carnage? It becomes somebody else. If it goes
that symbiote plus Cletus Cassidy is Carnage. I think he did have a baby at some point because there's also a character named Toxin. And then that's the last one that I knew of. And then somewhere along the line, there's a character named Anti-Venom.
Oh, God.
Which is a palette swapped or like a... And I don't know what his story is. But he's like the good version, I think. So I think it depends on who they are. Like, Toxin's not a bad guy.
Okay.
If I recall. But so it's still... I think it's the kid of the symbiote. But it does... It's influenced by who it sucks on. Huh. So the whole point of Carnage is like... Spider-Man, like he's a good guy, and he was like he wore the black suit for more than a year and was fine,
right
you know, and like, and then eventually he started feeling shitty and like it fed on that, and then it got on Eddie Brock, who is Venom, and he was already a jealous monster and then turned into Venom, and he was a real shithead, but he kind of became a hero in the 90s,
yeah,
which is why he's in this game. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, what if it's on the absolute worst person in the world,
right,
is the idea. And then later there's a comic where it gets on a dinosaur. So
Gary, come on, which
is, no, it's true. Like it is the Marvel Spider-Man editors are just like, what if the symbiote got on something? Which is more
like
or less
T-virus.
Their whole thing. Yeah, it's exactly. It's very like, I mean, you can't cast stones here, Ross. It's not that different than fucking Resident Evil.
No, I know
virus,
that. I'm not casting stones.
No,
like,
I was pretending to be offended for humor's sake.
Okay.
Not actually offended, but yeah, it is ridiculous. And this is a bad time in comics.
Okay, this is really bad. This is like early 90s. We've got Lee Field. He's kind of breaking onto the scene. Drawn Feet. Is Lee Field involved in this?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he wrote Spider-Man at the time. I think this was Todd McFarlane.
Oh,
was still doing Spider-Man at the time. Known for Spawn. I know he had a big run in the 90s. I was never a Spider-Man guy. Like, I have a general goodwill towards Spider-Man.
Yeah,
but I think haven't read a lot of the comics.
Spider-Man, like as a principle, I like, and I try not to read anything more about him, just because I don't want that goodwill to be spoiled. Because I like the idea of an insecure nerd superhero who's kind of like fast talking and wisecracking. Like that appeals to me. And I think that that's kind of a big reason why he got popular, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the everyman. He's a good guy. He is, there are really good Spider-Man stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've followed certain creators onto Spider-Man and read them and they're really good. Yeah. They just didn't happen now because this is right before or right after, I think it's right before the Clone Saga, which is the infamously bad Spider-Man saga in which they said like, hey, the character you've been loving for 40 years was not really Peter Parker. It was another guy. It was like a Riley Cooper, Ray Ridley or something like that. And it's just like nobody knew what they were doing as Spider-Man at the time.
Yeah.
Like,
And isn't there like now there's a, like, a, you know, they've split off and into a bunch of different universes because Marvel. Mm-hmm. And there's one where like Doc Ock got bit by the spider and he's trying to absorb Peter Parker's will. And there's also like an island where everybody's Spider-Man, something like that.
There is a spider island, I think. There's also, I think that Dr. Octopus just switched places with Spider-Man.
Okay.
Like switched minds, like vice versa him. And it's supposed to actually be really good. But I've heard people say that comic is really good, but I've never read it because I don't really read individual comics now. But there's a podcast I listen to about comics, so that's kind of how I keep up.
Yeah.
So when they talk about stuff, I hear about it.
Yeah. No, I pay attention to Doc Ock because I like him a lot.
yeah, he's a good. I like him. I like his dorky haircut.
But just oh yeah, Alfred Molina is like unassailable. Yeah. Unassailable. Boogie Nights. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm sure Alfred Molina has done terrible movies as well. Yeah. No. This is man. Oh man. Comics.
Yeah. Well, just especially this era and this thing, because this gives you a really good idea of what Carnage is like.
Well, just like the design, like any images that I see of Carnage, he appears to be made entirely of meat tentacles.
Yeah, that's what he is. Like he's a meat tentacle man.
Yeah.
yeah, he's disgusting. And the game is just him signing. Like this is one of the things I love about comic book based video games is like some of them kind of take a more. I think that they try to make a more timeless approach, mm-hmm. and they're never able to do it. So every single comic-based video game can be kind of carbon dated mm-hmm. to a specific time in comics. So like if you play Marvel versus Capcom 2, mm-hmm. like this is directly from the late 90s, because you know when Cable wins, there's a part where like his techno-organic virus goes out of control and Marrow is a character, and this is like this is 90s Spider-Man. Like
yeah.
this features cameos by like Deathlok and Morbius, and one of the main villains is Shriek.
Yep.
And it has that weird Spider-Man with six arms.
Oh, yeah, doppelganger.
And there's not even yeah. Hobgoblin or Green Goblin. It's Demo Goblin. It's like the third-rate worst goblin bad guy.
Isn't there a whole goblin clan? Like,
there's three goblins.
Okay, there's so it's, Hob, like, it's like the clay faces.
Green and Demo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And then some of them have powers, some of them don't. It's stupid. The other reason why I know about some of this shit is because I really seriously collected sixth scale or six inch action figures, like the uh-huh. Marvel Legends action figures. And there was a yeah. Spider-Man line as well. So like I was the proud owner of like, if I look at these characters here, Black Cat, Iron Fist, Cloak and Dagger, Deathlok, Morbius, Firestar, Carnage, Shriek, Doppelganger, Demo Goblin, yeah. and Carrion. I had action figures of all of them but two.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I was the proud owner of, like, a Carnage action figure. I had a Doppelganger action figure. I had a Demo Goblin action figure. Wow. So,
I think most of my knowledge of this stuff, like my knowledge of Spider-Man kind of, like, tops out at either the early 2000s Sam Raimi movies or whatever was featured in the early 90s or animated series.
Yeah.
Like that's was it kind of the same thing with X-Men too? Like aside from like reading Grant Morrison's run and Joss Whedon's run, like that's pretty much it for me.
Yeah, you should that's how you should do it, is you should follow creators. Like you shouldn't try to get a historical account. Like I was feeling nostalgic and had my tablet at work mm-hmm. and during downtime at work I can read, and a bunch of PDFs I downloaded wouldn't load. Mm-hmm. So I was looking to see what comics were on there, and for some reason I downloaded a bunch of 90s X-Men.
Yeah.
Like I had the complete Generation X and the Fatal Attractions crossover with all the tie-ins, and started reading them. And it's like, it's just amazing, because I was sending screenshots to my buddy Derek, because like, we were just kind of marveling at the fact that like, at the time we had seen that art, this like Jim Lee stuff, we were like, this is it, close up art, it's done. Like they've solved art. Jim Lee drew an Archangel. And like, that's what this is too. And that was the prevailing attitude at the time. Like people were like, oh man, Todd McFarlane, like I'm going to get a tattoo of this. Yeah. I want a poster of this. I'm going to put this in a frame and put it in the fucking Louvre. I'm going to sneak it in. Yeah. And it's so unattractive.
It's so like kind of like over articulated and just it kind of feel, it seems to me like they were kind of playing around with digital ink for the first time, and they really didn't know how to like get the saturation right. Because like this is around the time that I was like playing the Pokemon card game at the comic shop and looking at the posters that I really ought not to have been looking at, because those ladies had a very big chest, and that was kind of a formative kind of set of years for me. But yeah, like the like that exactly that aesthetic.
Yeah. It's very rough. Wait, I don't want to burn the entire episode just talking about Spider-Man in general, though, because there's a couple of great game facts things.
Okay.
For this game.
I was looking at this. Okay. So let's go ahead.
So Goki Akujiki on the message board has a topic. So this is 2015, right? April 25th, 2015.
Oh, so like 2 weeks ago. Okay.
2 weeks ago, wrote a topic that says, I beat this game with no superheroes and no continues. I'm at the point where I can effortlessly beat this game, even when placing some minor restrictions on myself. So he's just talking about how good he is at the game.
Yeah.
May 4th, less than a month ago, he responded to his own thing. His own topic says, so like, ask me anything about this game. And then a week later, May 12th, which, you know, 2 weeks ago I was recording, says, I'm not sure people understand how difficult this really is.
Well, it's your job to tell them. Make a video.
He just wants people to ask. This is the top comment.
Uh-huh.
Like, just like, yo, I did it. Why aren't you guys? Come on.
Guys.
Come on, guys.
Oh, he wasn't aware of the GameFAQs game where he has to host the most obscure board.
Yeah, exactly. And he went there because there's a pretty active, for GameFAQs, like, kind of an active board.
Yeah.
Because it's not a disliked game. Like, the reviews and everything. Like, a lot of people are just like, oh, it's the best LGN game, which, like, I think you probably make that argument.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are just like, you know, classic. I don't know if that's true. But there's also, I don't know if the rest of the review is good, but the title of this review is Spider-Man and Venom as a team. Oh, yeah, it just happened.
No, it happened like 20 years ago.
Just. Yeah. No, it just happened.
It happened 20 years ago. Come on.
You idiot.
You jerk. I'm going to feel real bad if that was written in 1997.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think so. I think it was much more recent than that.
Huh.
So, yeah, 2012. So,
Yeah, that's that. Why would anybody ever be surprised that a hero and a villain team up?
Well, exactly. Or that two heroes would fight.
Yep.
Because that's all comics are, is like, we have to test our strength, or like, we see each other and we're going to fight because it's a misunderstanding.
Oh, no. Okay. Iron Man and Cap don't get along.
Exactly. You know, and it's like, so that happens all the time. Like, nobody should be surprised by anything in comics anymore. Yeah. Yeah. Anything that's like, not someone specifically trying to surprise them.
Mm-hmm.
Like a standard superhero comic, any comic written before like year 2000 is not very surprising.
Yeah.
Even like good comics from the 80s are not, like, those tropes have just been ingrained and digested into the medium.
One of my favorite websites, at least from, let's say 10 years ago when people liked websites that weren't Clickhole, was, I'm not sure if it's still good anymore, but it was called Super Dickery.
Where it's like, it's just people with superheroes being assholes.
Well, specifically,
or Superman.
Yes, yeah, specifically Superman. And it's like, if it was made today, it would just be a Tumblr. But the idea is like either covers or panels of Superman just doing horrible sociopathic things. Oftentimes they're like the alternate reality covers where it's like, why is Superman kissing Jimmy Olsen?
Yeah. You know, like, just to see that I could.
Yeah. He's Superman. You know. Yeah. but just seeing all of it in one place like that, it's a little bit like the You Chose Poorly or whatever, the Choose Your Own Adventure Endings blog kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a whole bunch of that, like, alternate universe, why is he fighting she or whatever. Blah.
I remember reading that as well.
So
superheroes are assholes. Like, that's the thing too. Like, if you watch Sean Elliott had a tweet where it was like they leaked a scene from the Avengers before it came out, and it was Iron Man and Hulk fighting, and like the scene was really stupid. I ended up actually kind of liking that movie, but like the scene was really bad, and he's like, this is like a shitty video game cutscene. There's no regard for property damage or anything. Like, it just like quips, and it was totally true. It was like, oh, these guys are assholes and this is stupid. You know.
Wow. How about this, Gary, LJN, without looking at the Wikipedia page, what was the last game they were involved with year wise?
It's either going to be surprisingly long ago or surprisingly recent. 2015?
No, it was 2000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it's a game called The Spirit of Speed 1937.
Huh.
Yep, this is it's like a classic car racing kind of game.
Yeah. How about this? Let's do a dramatic, some abject suffering piece theater and do a dramatic read, because the script is on GameFAQs.
Oh, God.
Of the opening, so people can get an idea.
Okay. Well, this was pulled like pretty much verbatim from the actual comic too.
Yeah.
Like Wikipedia, at least according to that, they had a little bit of saying like, oh, this is notable for that. Which role do you want to take?
I can be everyone except for Carnage if you want to be Carnage.
Okay.
This is just, if anyone's listening to this, they don't know who Carnage is, I think this is a very good expression of his character.
Okay. I've never heard Carnage's voice. I'm just going to make my best my best impression.
Yeah, you're just a weird alien blood psycho.
Okay.
LJN did Spider-Man and X-Men Arcade Revenge. I played a lot of that game.
Yeah.
That's a bad game. Okay. Ravencroft, a maximum security institution devoted to the study of the criminally insane.
I sincerely hope, Officer Resnick, that I can somehow return the courtesy you've shown me by slaughtering you quickly with minimal agony.
In your dreams, sicko.
You should have listened, guys. I warned you. There really is a monster hiding within me. Hey, Resnick, remember how I said I'd go easy on you?
I lied. You should never trust a raving lunatic. I am the ultimate insanity. I am carnage. Come on, fellas.
I turned into the Joker. I'm sorry.
You went from demon to Joker real quick. Yeah. It's like a reverse Arkham Asylum.
Anyway, put a little more life into it. I need the practice. Spider-Man and Venom are bound to come after me when they learn of my escape, unless I play it smart and go after them.
Keep fighting. Make mine mayhem.
Huh? What kind of nutcase would egg me on?
My name's Shriek. Cut me free. I can't wait to join you on the slaughter circuit.
I knew you'd change my luck, pretty lady. There's a spider in that alley. Let's go squash it. That's my line. I'm supposed to be the monster here.
Don't hurt him. He's sort of cute in a sick and deranged sort of way.
Oh, all right. He can keep you company while I attend to some personal business.
So that's actually in the comic.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally just like, I've escaped. Oh, no, I've escaped. They're going to come after me, but not if I go attack them. Like, that's the premise of this comic. That's the hook. Like, what if they fought?
Well, no, it's a little bit like, you know, we've already talked on some show about the Spider-Man musical, which is less about God Spider-Man damn, and more about Ariadne, I guess.
Yeah, except the fact that it's about Green Goblin
and assembling the Sinister Six, right?
Yeah. With Letterman ending, I got a chance to rewatch that and I was very happy to do so. Just like, I get so overjoyed and reminded of that. I was talking to Elizabeth about it, like that song. So you put in your Google search bar, David Letterman, Turn Off the Dark, and you'll find the Green Goblin, the original cast, doing A Freak Like Me Needs Company. And the chorus of that song, where he's like, all the weirdos around the world are here right now in New York City. Like, that song makes me feel about New York the way other people are affected by New York state of mind or Empire state of mind. Like, when they hear that, and they're like, yeah, the lights are inspiring. Like, Jay-Z, this is a power anthem. A Freak Like Me Needs Company is what makes me feel that way about New York. I'm like, yeah, man. Like, Bono and the Edge are right. I want to live here. And I want to do it so I can get this campy, kooky criminal. It just makes you, it fills me with the spirit of the city.
Yeah. Some folks like to get away.
I think I mentioned this on the other show, but I'm going to mention it again because it's so good, is that the Comedy Bang Bang, the TV show, did a parody of that on their musical episode. And nobody knows what that is. Like, it's the most obscure specifically of that performance on Letterman.
Yeah.
And just because he saw it, he thought it was really weird that, like, why is this on Letterman? Like, all these people just thought they were going to see a regular musical guest, and all these, like, you know, Julie Taymor costumes just came out. And Eric Gallagher is like,
I was like, oh, you too? Yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah, exactly. And they did a version of it with the Phantom of the Opera coming out as the freaky Phantom. And the lyrics to it are so good. Like, they're just like, I'm a kooky little weirdo with masks and whips and chains. If you're looking for a pervert, that can be arranged. Like, it's really like, because he's like, the Green Goblin's all sexual for some reason.
Yeah, he's kind of vamping, right? Like he's doing a lot of come hither gestures with his hand, if I'm remembering correctly.
It's all vamp.
Yeah.
Like I cannot make a stronger recommendation for YouTube for people. It's not on YouTube, it's like on some other site, but to Google this thing. Yeah. If you YouTube it, you're just gonna find the actual play, which is good. But you have to find Letterman so you can have Letterman come out at the end and do his awkward like handshakes and like, that's yeah, that's something. That's like a party at my mom's house. Hey, all right. Yeah, look at that.
I think the Letterman version's look at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Letterman version's worth it because of the Letterman camera work. Like, I can't imagine that in any other version, like a stage version, you have them getting right up on the camera like that, as though they're audience members. Like, it's a fucking trip. is what
it
is.
And you get Paul Schaefer like looking at the Green Goblin, like sticking his tongue out and shaking his like his head and stuff. Yeah. It's so weird.
You know, I have nothing but respect for Letterman, but in the later years, some of those guests, like he had Hatsune Miku on. And that's another pro fucking click video because, you know, here's Letterman like getting up to introduce, like this is a man who got up and introduced the Foo Fighters playing Everlong after his heart attack. Right. Yeah. Like there's some really good performances that happened on there. And here he is ceding his stage over to an anime hologram.
Yeah.
it's you can just look at his eyes and just tell, like, I don't know what the fuck. I think he announced his retirement like right after that. That was the anime straw that broke the camel's back.
That's my favorite thing about him, is when he's just like over it. Mm-hmm. Like it's the best thing.
Yep.
I'm a freaky little weirdo with knives and whips and chains. So deranged.
Wait, was Carnage in that? There was somebody in that.
There's Carnage.
Okay, there's Carnage.
It even clangs on that, because like he was like, "It's a Sinister Six." And, you know, there's like, he is a man who's a living swarm of bees. I get a buzz just thinking about him. It's Swarm. And then Swarm comes out. But then when Carnage comes out, he's like, here's a man who killed his own grandma and even the dog. I like that kind of guy. It's Carnage. And it's like, that's not like a fun pun or anything. Jesus, Green Goblin. It's just like the joke is he killed his grandma and his dog. Yeah. There's nothing to it. He does not fit in. And then there's Swiss Miss.
Swiss, wait, what? Swiss Miss?
They created one for the thing. Julie Taymor created a character named Swiss Miss, it's not Grace Jones, but it's like a tall, very statuesque, like strong looking black woman, mm-hmm. who's just covered in like cutlery. Like she's just spinning blades. At the end, he's just like, and Swiss Miss! And then like this go on, because they don't have anything to say about Swiss Miss.
That's not canon.
It's not canon at all. They just wanted, like, I think that the model or actress wanted to be in the show.
Yeah.
So they created, you know, a vanity character for her, but it's the dumbest looking thing. She looks like Super Shredder a little bit, and the Turtles too.
Well, what a dumb name too.
Yeah, Swiss Miss.
Come on.
Like the hot chocolate.
Yeah, I'm trying to put people ill at ease. I'm trying to make them uncomfortable. Why don't I just name it after a very delightful drink that most people associate with, like, being safe
it's
at home?
Time. Yeah. Like, this little character killed his grandma and poisoned her cat. It's chamomile.
It's Celestial Seasonings would be a pretty good, like an assassin character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, no.
No.
Hmm. No.
Anywho, who's the Maximum Carnage?
This was recommended by Sam Bear. Hey, man, just another Sam. Old bullshit hard game featuring Genesis fart music composed by Green Jello.
Yeah. It used to be Green Jelly, but then they had to change their name because of lawsuit stuff.
Yeah, no, they didn't have the sheer fuck you in them that Jello Biafra did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we're doing Clown Kid in Nightmare Land.
Yes, we are. I will bump all of this down.
Suggested by Google Image Search.
Suggested by the Wikipedia page for Kemco.
Yes.
Yeah.
What can people help out?
Well, if they would like to join in the conversation, they can go over to facebook.com/abjectsuffering. That's a place where you can talk about episodes and stuff like that. It's always sad to see that number be so low compared to the other shows. And so I want to get that up there. So again, that is facebook.com/abjectsuffering.
Absolutely. One good way to make that happen is to, tell your friends about the show. Let them know, rate and review us on iTunes. That's going to spread the word. We want all that stuff. And you can also hit us up on Patreon if you'd rather contribute financially. Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV. Mm-hmm. We're still working on that milestone goal, but we're doing something. So
I will own that. But people are still donating and like getting that number up there. So we appreciate it.
Which is going to, when we reveal the thing, which we have something in mind, we're just not talking about it because we need to make sure it's feasible. Mm-hmm. When we reveal the thing, it will be that much cooler and that much more doable. So.
Let's just leave it at that. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And go well into the Spider Night.
Umbasa.
Umbasa.